live from the Chris Collinsworth hate train. It's Shenanigans. This week it's Alan with a Y.
Hello, everybody.
Vinny.
I'm back again.
Yeah.
And Walden. He's just going to grunt. I'm Craig. Alan Pergament in the Buffalo News this morning said that Chris Collinsworth did a fantastic job calling the game yesterday.
I couldn't hear it.
Did you have it muted or did you not watch it?
Yeah, I was barely watching the game. I was checking squares and
how'd you do?
Making prop bets. I won my Caesars bet.
Yeah.
And I won my numbers at the squares at the party I was at were 3-6 and 0. So I won halftime, third quarter, and fourth quarter.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Good for you.
Yeah, pretty excited.
But you didn't really watch the game?
Nah.
I thought it was one of the better games. Yeah. It's not a blowout. You got to hate a blowout in the Super Bowl because you want to. Both teams are supposed to be the best teams from their respective conferences. You're telling me that one conference is that much better than the other?
I don't think it has to do with one conference being better than the other. I think it has to do with the way you prepare your team and coaching a lot. Like back in the 90s when you had, you know, dynasties, you know, teams would get blown out in the Super Bowl. It's just not necessarily that one team was it's not necessarily that one team was superior to the other.
How about three straight blowouts?
Were they blowouts?
Yeah,
yes.
They were. Doesn't Disney have the whole Buffalo thing on? If you got Disney Plus, there's the whole.
You mean the Four Falls of Buffalo?
The Four Falls of Buffalo, is that what
was
it is?
An ESPN.
Yeah, it was a 30 for 30.
I watched that. Yeah. And
it's
I mean,
on Disney.
You can't sure. be it's one on of the Disney. Best football teams ever and not go. They went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a Cowboys fan. I was born and raised in Dallas, so obviously. But I mean, you got to respect a team that goes to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, and they would have won one if the damn kicker hadn't missed one, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
there were some other calls earlier in the game. There were some other things they should have done.
They had plenty of opportunities in that game. So,
and you hate losing to Bill Parcells in any shape or form.
That was their first one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are – the Bills are due. You know, don't get me wrong. They've got a solid team, and they've got a team that can do it. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of time at this point.
I think that what we learned yesterday was that Joe Burrow is a little bit better than advertised. You don't know? You don't think so?
He looked on par with the rest of the season as far as I was concerned.
They had a lot of luck going their way the entire season, and especially in the playoffs.
Well, you also had a lot of folks like blowing him up, and it was like, okay, like he had one good season, which is this season. His rookie season was not
garbage.
Magical at all.
Did he get hurt?
He tore his ACL.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And you know, and it was now he came back from that and he led his team to the Super Bowl. I'm not taking that away from him. Like that's awesome. And I think he's probably the franchise quarterback for the Bengals. I mean, if we're being honest. You know, but they're blowing him up to this thing and it's like, dude, you've had one good season and it's like 15 minutes on like all his nicknames and all this other crap. Like, dude, stop.
You can see it's getting to him. The way he did, you see his outfit when he showed up to the stadium yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, that was
he looked like the hipster Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You can tell it's getting to his head. It's
starting to inflate his ego, and that, you know, I'm not saying that it affected his play, but
so during the game yesterday, I said to my wife, I said, can there be a way that Odell Beckham Jr. gets hurt? Not bad, but gets hurt so he can't play the rest of the game. Literally the next play, he's out. And I'm like, wow.
Okay, so
and all by himself.
Like, what is his injury? Is it an ACL tear or something like that?
I think it was a torn ACL.
Because usually when you see a player, like, non-contact injury, they're running, and then all of a sudden they go down and grab the knee. It's an ACL,
his
an MCL.
Knee, his whole bottom part of his leg stuck, and the rest of them moved. So, I mean.
Oh, that's a tear.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's going to have the offseason to recover. Like, I know what it's like to recover from an ACL tear because I tore mine straight in half.
Yep.
And then I said, come on, can we just get a interception here? And then Stafford threw an interception. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
You should have went to the casino.
Dude, I said something
about. Two chicks!
I said something about.
Yeah. Like, he threw two of them.
So I said something about a blowjob, and I hear from the other room, no.
I wasn't talking to you.
Shit, then he's going to be in trouble.
I know. You could ask for it today, though, right? Because today's a national holiday.
No. You got to wait till March 14th.
I learned that last year. You guys taught me that last year.
We did not observe that holiday in our household because I was told if we observe that, then that's the only observation of such act for the entire year. I'm like,
is it National BJ Day?
Steak and BJ Day.
Steak and BJ. Yeah.
Or what was it? Cheeseburgers and warm regards or something like that.
Okay, so the elephant in the room on social media, the halftime show.
It was great.
It was phenomenal.
It was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Like, I watched it this morning because I'm going to be honest. I only really watched the last 10 minutes of the game. I saw the highlights later. But I did go back and I watched the halftime show this morning over coffee, which was kind of nice. And like, my wife and I are in the kitchen and we were like, holy shit, this is our clubbing days.
Exactly.
So we're like doing the bumping and grinding and all this. I mean, dude, it was awesome. You know, like Dre came out and I thought Snoop sounded great. 50 Cent, 50 sounded okay.
He was the surprise guest.
It's 50. But I was like,
he's more like a buck 50 now.
No, but I was like, Kendrick Lamar's 34, and I'm not taking anything away from the man because he's a platinum selling artist and a producer and a songwriter. You know, he's obviously a very talented individual. But I was like, how does he tie in with these guys? Because I mean, I think Eminem's the youngest one on the stage up there,
right?
Without Kendrick Lamar, because he's 34, and I mean, yeah, he was born in what, 87? I think it was.
No idea.
Something like that. I think he was born in 87, and so I'm like, he's getting ready to be 35. Like, dude, you're like half a generation too young.
Right.
I'm like, you're like that. Everything's red, and then there's a green M&M in the middle of the pile.
So we were trying to figure out last night who was lip syncing, who wasn't, because there were some lip syncing and there were some not lip syncing.
I think, yeah, a combination. I think when they were hitting some of the old school, but Mary J was doing great because she
her
lip-synced
first song was the first
song.
Was totally lip sunk,
and then she started belting out, and she still
and
got a set of pipes.
And the second song was phenomenal.
Yeah, Mary J has a set of pipes. She's always
and I think she looked fantastic. People were saying she was too old for what she was wearing. I'm like, she's 51. She looked great. And
can
she
I just
was,
say
she
I was just, I was checking out her thighs going, yeah.
Look, she looked good.
Nobody says that shit about J-Lo. I mean, yeah. She's 52 and still swinging from stripper poles and shit while she's singing.
I don't know. Mary J. Blige looked good last night.
Mary J. got out there.
I thought she did look good.
I kind of felt bad that she died at the end.
Yeah, well.
That's funny.
You know, I mean, Mary J. Blige, for me, really hit the scene with her song Real Love. You know, and that's old school Mary J., you know, MJB. And so I wish she would have sang that because I love that song. But Eminem came out and, you know, he did. That guy's going in the Hall of Fame for like rock and roll or rap or whatever.
Yeah, he's
Hall of Fame he's supposed to go into. Like him, Dre, Snoop, they're all going. Mary J. Blige, she's going too. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that was a phenomenal lineup.
And so last Sunday was the car race. And I was telling you about it at their halftime. They had Ice Cube rapping and singing. I thought for sure when they said there was going to be a surprise guest that was going to be the surprise. He was going to be the surprise guest for the Super Bowl.
Now, are you sure?
I thought it was going to be Dale Earnhardt.
50? Are you sure it was 50 or was it Kendrick Lamar was the surprise guest?
No, they talked about Kendrick Lamar
okay, because I wasn't paying attention. I knew it was going to be this old school, like, you know, 90s early, maybe, you know, 90s group of artists, you know, that were R&B and hip hop and stuff like that. But I'm like, Kendrick Lamar, like, in 2000, he would have been 16.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't fit in,
I made the observation last night. Anyone between the ages of 32 and 57, the best halftime show they've ever seen.
Loved it.
Anyone
I don't know.
Anyone over 57 were like, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. And anyone under 30 was like, who the fuck was that?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, Michael Jackson put on a pretty good halftime show.
Michael Jackson and Prince.
Prince is number one.
Yeah, Prince is number one.
I would argue Michael Jackson, but I mean, I grew up with Michael Jackson.
So did I, but
I didn't realize he was from Texas.
He's not.
Oh.
I get it, though.
Yeah, you do.
He's from Gary, Indiana.
I say that the top three, and this is only my opinion, was Prince, Last Night, and The Who. Because, okay, first of all, I may be a little biased on The Who because I love The Who, but it was the year after the Rolling Stones sucked at the halftime show, and they came out and fucking lit it up, The Who did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to say, you got to put MJ in there somewhere.
But he's in the top five for sure.
The bottom line was before Michael Jackson came out and did the halftime show, it was always like somebody that was on their way out, you know, that they weren't making a whole bunch of records anymore. They weren't very popular at that time, and they brought in Michael Jackson, and he did this huge halftime show, and it was like 92, and it was a Bills-Cowboys Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was glued to the TV in Texas watching it because that's where I was at. I was 13.
There's not much more to do in Texas other than watch football at that time.
And usually high school.
Yeah.
Oh, Friday Night Lights is a real thing, dude.
I know, man.
Like, and
so people walk out
before
with whipped cream on their boobs and
I don't know about that.
They didn't do that for the band guys.
I was a band geek, but we had our own. We had our own thing, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, flutes.
So.
I heard all about it.
That's right.
That's a band camp thing, and like we used to go all over the place. You know, we'd go to Colorado, we'd go to Disney World down in Florida, and play competitions. And my band would win. Like we would always take first place. Like we were phenomenal. But you know, you got a girlfriend in band, and you're going on a trip, and your parents aren't there. Now they're chaperones, and you're like. You know, hey, let's go down this, you know, trail here.
I'm only teaching her Morse code. That's the knocking. I'm a Boy Scout.
Well, I mean, you get on a ski lift. There's two people in the chair.
Right.
Hey, we're going to the top of the Parisian Bowl. Dude, that's a 20-minute ride, you know. And then you're like, okay, let's go down this closed trail that nobody's down. Zoom. And then you're have your privacy for a little while. I mean, dude, you were living high on the hog.
Nice.
It was great. Like, the football team, sure, they got to go to state championships. We got to go skiing. We got to go to Disney World. Like, we got to go to all this other shit. We got invited to play the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
That's cool.
Short notice.
Did you play it?
We got it on short notice. We only had, like, 2 months to raise the money, and the school system didn't have the money to send us. Because
they spent it all on football.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and our football team was...
Mediocre at best.
They didn't win a lot of games. They went out there and they always played their heart out. I will give them that. I'm not going to take that away from them. But they were always... We were a small school in our district. We were a 4A school, and we were a smaller 4A, so we didn't have a whole lot of talent to draw from. But the guys that played, they always went out there and gave their heart out. You know, they left it all on the field. And so you can't take anything away from them. And I mean... Even though they may not have won a lot of games, like you could see the seniors that, you know, it was their last game, their helmets are off. You know, these are the big burly jocks that, you know, all the skinny nerds want to be like. And these jocks, they're shedding tears because they're like, this is the last time I'm ever going to play football because they're like, I'm not getting a scholarship to college to play football.
I mean, be a walk-on.
They could be, but, you know, a lot of them weren't. A lot of them were going to the military. I mean, I came from small-town USA. I mean,
I think the Army has a football team.
They do, but West generally Point. You go to West Point for that.
That's, yeah. It's a little tough to get into.
You got
to
have some really...
Congressman,
really
right?
You got to have some really good grades to get in there. You know, and when you graduate, you're going to be an officer. So it's not like you're going to West Point just to play football. Like, at
in
that
retrospect,
point,
I should have actually went to that school, but who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
I'd be in a different place, different time. Probably wouldn't even know you guys.
You'd have the same haircut.
Yeah, for sure. I chose a different path.
So, last night's Super Bowl was played in the home stadium of one of the teams, even though they were technically the away team. How does that work for the locker room? So, did the Rams not get their own locker room? Did they just sit over in the Chargers locker room?
I don't know. I bet they figured that out. I bet they found a way to use their own.
Because I've been to various arenas, like for hockey, and I know that even in the super nice arenas, the visiting locker room is a dump.
It's always a dump.
So I wonder what it's like in the professional sports. Is it, you know, crowded? And they must have had, I mean, but they have two home teams there. So
and it's a billion-dollar building, you know. Let's be honest. Right. The thing's going to be, it can't be a crap hole.
They probably locker rooms.
They probably gave the Chargers a seventh-round draft pick in order to use their room. The Chargers could use any picks they can get.
Right.
So what if it's Mr. Irrelevant? Did you see the meme that I sent out? They were tired of, the NFL didn't like the fact that 2 years in a row, that the Super Bowl was the home stadium of one of the teams. So from this point forward, they're going to use the stadium in Dallas. That way they never have to run into that problem again.
I saw that on Facebook, yeah. And I was like, man, that kind of gets me like right in the heart, dude. Like, holy cow.
It stings a bit.
Well, I mean, it does. And I was sitting here, you know, and like I said, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan because I was born and raised I was born in Dallas, I was raised in the area of Dallas, right? Like 30 minutes south of Dallas. So I grew up with the Cowboys. So naturally, I'm going to be a Cowboys fan. This year, they had a team that was really stacked and they had a lot of talent.
And a shitty coach.
Yeah.
And they play calling really kind of pissed me off this year a little bit. The coaching kind of pissed me off, in all honesty. They had the talent to make a run at the Super Bowl, and you got into the wild card round. You lost to fucking Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. I know. Like, I feel your pain about that.
Like, I mean, first off, I mean, like, first off, fuck that guy. He's overrated.
He's gone anyway.
He's overrated.
He's going to Dallas, I heard.
Yeah, no. Like, honestly, in Dallas, I think we need to get rid of Ezekiel Elliott.
He's making so much money to pick up pass rushers.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
Mike McCarthy.
Well, I think if McCarthy fucks up, Dan Quinn's going to he's gonna get fired. Dan Quinn will take over as head coach.
Mike McCarthy should have been fired before he even got hired.
Look,
I had him for first 11 years. I can tell you all about it.
Still got a street named near the stadium after him.
Well, we kept all our coaches, and it's not necessarily a bad thing with McCarthy because at least we have consistency. They're talking about maybe losing, like, DeMarcus Lawrence and, like, somebody else, and I'm like, dude, you got to keep DeMarcus Lawrence. I'm like, just because you got Micah Parsons doesn't mean that you can get rid of one defensive end and go, woo, I got this linebacker that's just all up in your backfield.
Right.
Like, you got to figure out how to fucking keep him, you know, and God forbid you get rid of Trevon Diggs.
Oh, they can't get rid of him. Dude, there's no way.
There's no fucking way, dude. Like, no. Like, you have to keep him. Like, he's going to end up being a shutdown corner if he's not already one. Now
I'll give you Tremaine Edmonds for Ezekiel Elliott right now, straight up trade.
Like,
you'd rather go with Leighton Vander Esch?
What do you mean Leighton Vander? Why
isn't he that the middle linebacker Vander Esch or whatever his name is?
Vander Esch actually had a pretty solid season. He wasn't,
which means next year he's going to break both his legs.
Well, don't curse me because he didn't really get hurt this year. Like, he stayed healthy this year.
There's one.
You know, well, we did have some issues with the defense. My thing is I also think we need to draft an offensive lineman because Tyron Smith can't seem to stay healthy in the last couple of years, and he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. Like, I think he's had a Hall of Fame career. Like, he's one of the best offensive linemen to play the game, but I think his injuries are starting to stack up to where he's more and more injury prone. Right. So we need a new one.
Yeah, they had that 3 or 4 year run where they had just a phenomenal offensive line.
And still couldn't do fucking shit with it. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, all you got to do is have your... It was like with Emmitt Smith. Now, Emmitt Smith is arguably the greatest running back to play the game.
Yards arguably, wise, at least.
You know, he's in the argument. You know, him, Barry Sanders, obviously two different running styles, hard to compare.
Right.
But Emmitt Smith had the offensive line that Barry Sanders never had. Yep. So, you know, you can make an argument that, well, what if Barry Sanders had that line? Well, there's a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if. Well, Barry Sanders didn't, and Barry Sanders ran his ass off and then was like, well, fuck you, Detroit. You're not letting me out. I'm just retiring. He had a couple more years left on him. He had some gas in the tank, and... That was sad.
That's what Detroit does to people, apparently.
Well, look at Stafford.
Johnson did the same thing.
Look at Stafford. He finally gets out of Detroit. He retires Tom Brady and wins a fucking Super Bowl.
But did he retire Tom Brady?
He and his team beat Tom Brady.
I know, but
I'm not saying that that's the reason Tom Brady retired.
I'm thinking that he makes a comeback. How do you?
Who, Brady?
Yes.
You know, there's rumors.
I think he changes his mind.
Well, there's rumors that he's going to come out of retirement.
He had 5,200 yards in passing this year.
I don't know if he'll ever find another situation where he could do that again. How many teams stack their receivers like that? Look at their depth chart at receiver and tight end.
Well,
no
one
other
of
team
them,
is going to spend that much money on those.
Well, one of them unstacked themselves in the middle of the fucking game.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, I mean, that guy is probably never, I don't think he'll ever play in the NFL again.
Oh, my God, no.
Like, there's no way. And I was like, if Jerry Jones even tries to get him, like,
how about he goes and plays for the Rough Riders?
Might as well.
Whatever.
He's got options.
He go win a Grey Cup.
I'm so glad he would not allow that trade to Buffalo now.
What trade was that?
It was like 3 years ago. The Bills had an agreement with Pittsburgh to trade for Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown said, I'm not going.
Oh, I'm kind of, yeah.
I'm good for that guy. You know, good that, you know, he didn't come to Buffalo. Right. And even though I'm a diehard Dallas fan, the Bills are my second favorite team, and they have been for forever. You know, even before I moved here, before I retired from the Army. So I've always had a lot of respect for the Bills, you know, and I think Josh Allen's got something magical going on.
We're just hoping he's not the Warren Moon of his era. Yeah. Warren Moon was a phenomenal quarterback, but he never got to a big game.
You know, and he was, Warren Moon was a phenomenal quarterback for the Houston Oilers.
Did he play in Tennessee 1 year?
No.
Steve McNair was
Steve
in
McNair.
Houston.
Yep.
And right. God, Steve McNair, he's dead now, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And yeah. Steve McNair was a UT
Didn't
guy.
Did his girlfriend kill him? Steve
yeah.
McNair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. Yeah, he got all drugged out or something, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I know his girlfriend shot him. That's about the extent of.
Okay.
What did I you shoot him on Valentine's Day?
St. Valentine's Day.
He was not in Chicago.
Okay.
No.
She dressed up like a cop.
But, I mean, they still remember him down in Austin. I mean, because he was a UT quarterback for a while, I believe.
I saw something really funny about Austin. There was an article saying the top five overrated places to visit in the country, and Austin was number one.
It should be, because they've let it turn into a shithole.
They basically said that it's a free-for-all, dangerous craziness.
Dude, even while I was in the Army, like, I would barely go down there because it's so fucking liberal. If somebody found out you were in the Army, they'd just try to beat your ass on the street right there. Like, they didn't give a shit. Like, it didn't matter what you did or how nice you were. Oh, you're military? You're a fucking baby killer. Wham! And they just try to beat your ass. Like, we were in the left-hand lane, and the turn lane is next to us, the turn lane to go left, and there's a vehicle on our right. As soon as the light turns green, the guy slams the gas and, like, skids and cuts everybody off and turns left all the way from the right-hand lane. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Now, if you want great barbecue, go to Austin, go to Franklin's. Hands down. Get in line early. Bring a chair. Okay, they will make everyone wait in line, including Kanye West, because they did it before. He tried to cut the line. And he's like, nope, take your ass to the back.
Nice.
Right? And they make barbecue, and then once they're out, they're fucking out. They're not making
anymore. What about Jackson Mahomes?
Fuck that guy. Like, that dude, like, he just shows his ass because his brother's, you know, doing some special shit in the NFL, and I just think he's trying to ride his brother's coattails.
Oh, that's
just
the dancing kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure he's riding the coattails. Yeah.
You know, I just think he's riding his brother's coattails. Like, dude, go get your own fucking thing. You know, go do your own thing, show up, support your brother, but don't be an ass. It's that simple. It's that simple.
So the Super Bowl's all over.
Yes.
I didn't realize the NBA was still playing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that the Lakers and what's his name from Cleveland are in last.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Oh, King James.
Yeah, they have a losing record. It's wonderful.
Dude, he's such a douchebag.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else going on. I mean, the NHL's playing, but I don't know if the Sabres got the memo. Skinner had 5 points yesterday. He had 4 goals and an assist.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they still lose?
No, they won. They beat Montreal.
My team's been winning, and then all of a sudden they play, I think it was the Avalanche or something like that.
Well, Avalanche is a great team this year.
They played a team that was 33-8 and just got shit on. It was like 4-0. Like, they lost 4-0. And I was like, dude, you just, like, been hanging with all these really good teams, and then all of a sudden...
The Avalanche are in a different league right now. Really? They're really good.
Yeah. Well, it used to be like... when the Dallas Stars would play the Chicago Blackhawks. Like, the Blackhawks used to be really good back in the 90s, you know, and obviously I don't want to go back and revisit that whole no-go bullshit because we all know about that, and I already said I agree with that. It technically shouldn't have been a goal.
If you're going to call it one way all season, you got to call it the same way.
Look, exactly, yeah. And I think it should have been discounted, and they should have, you know, continued to play, but it was like, what, a 4 or 5 hour fucking game, and it was like midnight, 1 in the morning, refs were tired, they were like, fuck it. Anyway, how about enough sports? We got to get Alan involved here.
I know.
He's just sitting over here looking at us.
I'm
like,
learning.
Whatever, and I need to wear my sunglasses because the reflection from his dome is fucking starting to blind me, so we got to get him involved.
It's Valentine's Day. Do you have any special things
again.
For Valentine's
again.
Day?
Again. No, I'm looking forward more to tomorrow.
Because everything's half price?
Yeah, all the candy's on sale.
What is it? Is tomorrow actually a national holiday, or is it an unofficial holiday?
I don't know. I'm going to the Sabres game tomorrow night.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
My daughter got me...
This was the postponed game?
This is the postponed game. Got me Sabres tickets and parking, so...
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Going to take her up there.
That's nice. You guys going to dinner?
I don't know yet.
Take her to dinner.
Don't know yet.
All right.
Who's going with you now?
Patience.
Ah.
So for Valentine's Day, do you ever have any jilted lovers?
No. Hundreds.
You guys have all dated the same people for 100 years, right? Well, except for Alan with a Y here.
That's correct.
He gets around.
Yeah.
He can't be tied
I like
down.
To go on dates at least once every 3 or 4 years just to just to
with
keep
real
my
people.
Yeah. Just to keep my toe in the dating pool.
Otherwise, they take your name off the list.
Yeah. It's the same reason I use my Kohl's card once every 3 years, or else they expire you.
Stop. They stop sending you the cash codes. Yeah.
Honestly, I like using the Kohl's credit card, especially when they have the get 20% off if you put it on the Kohl's credit
Kohl's
card.
Kohl's cash, yeah.
Like, you get Kohl's cash, but then you get 20% off if you put it all on the Kohl's credit card.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So I just
wonder if that would work if I got a Barnes & Noble credit card.
I don't think so.
I don't think they can afford to give any discounts at this stage of the game.
I always feel like Kohl's screws me because then I feel like I don't ever get a bill from them in the mail. So
and
now
then
when
you do
I go
with
there,
late fee.
Then I do with the late fee. So now what I do when I go to Kohl's and I shop, I go there, I put it on the Kohl's card, I charge it, and then I go up to customer service and I just pay for it right then and there. I'm like, hey, here you go, and
nice.
Then I'm paid, and I'm.
We wait about
everything.
A week. So it goes through the system, and then we just pay it online.
I should do it. Like, if I actually had the app and went that route, I could probably do, because I think I do have all that stuff set up on the app, too. So I should just do it that way, but I'm not that bright when it comes to that stuff. I'm not a shopper, you know?
Right. Well,
I had to go back, and I had to get a couple more pair of khakis, and, you know, I had to go get some dress shoes and stuff.
That's
like that.
That's for the new job now, right?
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, thank you, but we're not going to talk about that online.
Okay.
Because I don't want to ruin anything.
All right.
I want to keep that separate.
Understood.
Yep. I'll just paint a picture of you of what his new job looks like. There's a Saturday Night Live episode that has Patrick Swayze
and Chris Farley.
So that is what he's doing.
That's right.
He has no idea. You don't remember that skit?
I may not have seen it.
The Chippendales?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
with Chris Farley, Patrick Swayze.
That is not what I'm doing.
Chris Farley was
brilliant in that
skit.
I just remember that now because he had the sleeveless jacket on, right?
It was not even a jacket. It was just cufflinks and a collar.
Cufflinks and the collar and the bow tie, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, they came out in robes at first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Patrick Swayze is a Texas treasure, so.
And he's a trained dancer, right? He actually was a trained dancer.
Yes.
His mother was a dancer.
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
So.
Anyway, Valentine's Day. You ever been dumped just before Valentine's Day?
I don't think so.
I never had girlfriends get dumped, so I didn't have to worry about it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
like
so.
I went to the Army, they issued me my wife, and that was it. I mean, we literally met the day we went active. We both became active duty, so we graduated basic and AIT. We went to separate basic trainings and AITs. Got to our unit, our very first unit. We met that night. We've been together ever since. So it's
got to the unit. Showed her his unit.
Watch it.
Actually, she wouldn't let me show her my unit for the first month.
Really?
Very respectable.
Oh yeah, she was like, not happening.
It's cold here. Of course, I don't want to see it until it warms up. We're not going to see it till summer.
We'd be chilling, watching TV or something in the barracks, you know, snuggled up. And she's like, "It's 11:30. You got to go. I got to get some sleep." Like, she would kick me out of her room, and I
she
was
had
like,
"Rules."
She did. I respected that.
Nice.
You bitched about it, but.
I grumbled under my breath secretly, like every dude was doing. But
and then you got back to your own barracks, and they're like, "What's going on?"
Actually, I was just down the hall.
What's going on, my boy?
Just lived down the hall from her. So, I mean.
You mean it wasn't like it was in Full Metal Jacket, just to open bay?
That's training. My training was open bay. My basic training was open bay, like that, where you'd have, you know, we had, what, 40 or 40-something guys, like. It was one platoon per bay. And so it was like 40 dudes just all living together for the first time. Like, we had dudes from L.A., and by that I mean lower Alabama.
Oh, they're talking about L.A.
No. And, you know, we had guys from Washington State, New York City, you know.
New York City?
Yeah. Dude, we had a guy who was from one of the hollers in West Virginia.
Oh,
and
my God.
The dude had never seen
teeth?
A pair of fucking... No. This guy had never seen a pair of socks in his fucking life, so they issued him socks, and he was like, "What the fuck are these?"
He's doing hand puppets.
He had no fucking idea what socks were. And we had a guy from the Philippines whose accent, I've never heard an accent that thick, and he spoke broken English.
But you could understand him when he's asking you about the warranty on your car.
No, not at all. But, I mean, it was so thick. His accent was so thick, it was like, yes, sergeant, yes, sergeant. Like, that's exactly what he sounded like.
Like, he's skipping.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, his English got better. His accent, you know, obviously wore down because he wasn't home in the Philippines. Became a little more Americanized. His name was Austria, and he was a little short dude. Hmm. But this dude, by the end of basic training, could, like, bench press a Volkswagen bug.
And he knew every swear word that started with F.
Right.
Yeah. We had one guy who was from Birmingham, Alabama, didn't want to be there.
Was it close to Greenbow?
No, it was not close to Greenbow. We were an hour from Birmingham, Alabama, but somehow he got LSD and dropped LSD right in the middle of the central training area. Like, look at this. Just dropped acid right on his tongue.
So they'd send him home. Basically.
They pretty much got him sent home. Yeah. We had one guy who had shot two of his toes off with a 22 prior to, like, when he was a younger kid. Somehow they allowed him in the Army. He couldn't run, and they eventually kicked him out because he just couldn't run. They were like, dude, thanks for trying, but we don't even know why the fuck your recruiter
sent
you.
If we need somebody to dig a hole, we'll call you because all you do is run in circles.
Yeah, basically. Like, he just...
So I know you weren't the Marines, but did you have a guy like Arlie Ermey for a drill instructor?
His name was Senior Drill Sergeant Bruce Witz, and he was the meanest motherfucker I'd ever seen in my life at that point. He fucked... Well, I'll put it this way. He had a fatherly hatred, and by that I mean he looked out for every soldier. He always had your best interest at heart, you know, and wanted to make sure that you were trained, but you were taken care of. Then we had a sadistic drill sergeant named Drill Sergeant Marks. He got kicked out of the Army later because he had a mental fucking breakdown. This guy hated privates. And when I say hated privates, he was like, look, I'm going to flip my collar inside out. There's no rank here. You want to fucking fight, private? Like, the guy was insane. Like, he stepped on my helmet and tried to drown me in a puddle of mud. Like, I'm not even kidding. And everybody's like, that fucking happened? I was like, dude, I joined and went to basic training right in the middle of the transition to the kinder, gentler Army. So you had these guys that were from the 80s, you know, that came in that are like, I'm gonna fucking kill this private. You know, they're like stepping on your back and like trying to break your neck, punch you in the fucking face. I mean, we still had those guys around. And so those are the guys that trained me, you know, and then they're like, you can't do that shit though. And I was like, what the fuck? Because I had a soldier that popped a stress card in my fucking face because they tried that stress card shit one cycle. So they get to the regular unit, and he was like, you can't do that shit to me, Sergeant Vinny. And I was like, the fuck is that? And he goes, it's a stress card. Look, it's black. I'm all stressed out. And I was like, I grabbed it, and I folded it a couple times and snapped that shit in half. I was like, fuck that bullshit. Beat your fucking face. You know? Like, we're not doing that. We're training killers here, dude. Like, you can't be a pussy and fight and win America's wars, dude. Like, you just can't
maybe
do it.
Maybe if the opposite forces knew about the stress card, they would give them a timeout.
They would calm their, you know, combat operations and say, you know what, we're going to take a knee. We're going to have a little bit of tea here.
That's where John Briandi had a story like that when my father and John went in the Army together on that buddy plan, and they had a drill sergeant that talks about the guy you did. We got no ranks. Let's just do this. So this guy went through, and he pulled John into the bathroom with no rank and everything like that. Johnny beat the crap out of him. And then they never messed with him again after that, Johnny, my father. Plus the head honcho on, and I don't know all the terminologies, but whoever was in charge of that whole area they were at was from Buffalo. So he took a shine to my father and John, and he told that guy who was a real prick to those two to leave him alone, and they could pretty much just walk unapologetically through that whole arena without ever getting in trouble.
That's like, they scared the shit out of us when I went through air assault school, you know? So you've got a 30-foot tower that you actually have to climb and then rappel down, right? Before you can even rappel out of the helicopters at like 100 to 120 feet in the air. And so they took an actual soldier and made him climb up the fucking tower. And then we thought they threw his ass off because the instructor there
came down alone.
No, took and threw this fucking dummy off. And it was dressed just like a soldier. Kevlar and everything. Threw a fucking dummy right off the 30-foot tower. And we were like, holy shit, they fucking killed him. You know? And we were like, ah! And, you know, turns out, you know, it was a joke, you know, and they were all laughing and shit. And
my therapist loves it.
That's not fucking funny. You know, we thought you killed him, you know? And then, you know, you watch a soldier get hit, you know, because he didn't discharge the static from, you know, a fucking static line when he, you know, when he's trying to hook up an 822 bag or some shit. Gets blown the fuck, you know, 30 feet across because, you know, the rotors, they build up static electricity. we got to discharge that static into the ground before you actually hook up, because metal to metal, when you have static, you know, it's electricity. Boom! This motherfucker went flying. They were like, are you okay? I'm good. All right, here's your pink slip. Thanks for trying. Kicked out. Have a nice day. Like, gone. Safety violation.
Wow. Oof.
Like, they don't, like, people don't realize that. Like, your career can end just like that if you do something. Not saying that everybody who's in the military is, you know, a fucking genius, because, I mean, we have the infantry, and a lot of those guys are not super smart, but we do love the infantry because they shoot and fucking kill everything that moves. That's their job.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who was in Marine Corps boot camp in August of 1995. He's at Paris Island. And I asked him if he liked the Grateful Dead. He goes, I used to like the Grateful Dead. And then I had boot camp. I go, boot camp broke you of liking the Dead? And he goes, my drill instructor was a huge Deadhead. And when Jerry Garcia died, we had to sing fucking songs and dig graves for sand fleas. He goes, so fuck the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, I've actually had to flip rocks so the other side could get a tan.
Nice.
Yeah, or, you know, you take your entrenching tool and you edge with that, or you dig a fighting position with that, or take a pile of rocks and move it from one portion of the motor pool and then move it to the other side of the motor pool.
Then they change their mind. They want them back where they
came from.
And
then you have to move it fucking back. Like,
like Robert Redford in The Last Castle.
Fantastic movie.
Great movie.
But that's usually some shit you have to do when you get in trouble when you fuck up.
So seriously, either I would have been doing that all the time or I would have been in jail. I would have been in the brig.
Well, we don't have a brig in the Army.
Whatever.
You get escorted out. You get invited to leave.
Yeah. No, you don't get invited to leave. Like, I'd either have a stockade.
I'd be the world's greatest soldier, or I would be in prison, in military prison.
You'd probably be the world's greatest soldier. I just don't see you fucking up that bad.
I like to thumb my nose at authority.
Let me
That's
put it
my
this
problem.
Way. Okay, I have a problem with authority, but yet I thrived in the military. Okay, like, I don't know if you've ever personally seen Fort Leavenworth.
No,
I have been there. That is a scary fucking building. Okay, not only are the walls like 1,000 feet fucking tall, but there's like a gazillion strands of razor wire.
Wow.
On top of it, and it is one of the most imposing buildings I have ever seen.
More imposing than Fort Knox?
Let me put it this way. My buddy and I were at Fort Leavenworth, and we were doing, we were active duty. We were getting ready to mobilize some reserves and units and do some stuff. And we're like, you know what? There's Fort Leavenworth. Let's go and take a look. And we didn't think anything of it, but we're standing outside, and we're like, click, click, you know, taking a photo.
No, no.
And oh my God, here it came. Dude, you can't fucking do that. Delete those pictures and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. You know, and Chelsea or whatever the fuck
Manning
was there at that time, and all this other stuff, and like, you know, Hassan Akbar, you know, and all these other guys, they're inside there, and you're looking at this thing, and I mean, this is like the worst of the worst. That's where they go. And I was like, no, dude.
Yeah. Like, I like authority now.
I you're like, you told me to, you know, go clean, you know, the toilet, go clean the latrine. I'm going to clean the latrine, dude. In the words of Gunny, the Virgin Mary would be proud to go in there and take a dump. You know,
speaking of dumps,
because I met Gunny before he died. I met him back in 2003. Dude's awesome. That's all I'm gonna say.
He was a real life drill sergeant for a short time.
He was a real Marine.
Right. I know he's a real Marine, but he was a drill sergeant for a short time.
Yes.
And he did the whole when he's meeting all the troops. When he first meets his recruits, they get Stanley Kubrick said, just go. And all the nicknames he came up with are the nicknames he used for the rest of the movie, because he couldn't remember his lines.
Well, the thing was, is none of that was scripted. Like, there was a script, and he was only there as a military advisor. And the guy that they had hired to play his part, like, was fucking it up. And Gunny was like, look, just record me doing the shit for a minute. And he went and did it, and because Kubrick...
And the camera loved him.
Well, the thing, it's not the camera. Kubrick did, which is really uncharacteristic of Kubrick, because Kubrick wanted to know everything that was going to happen, when it was going to happen, wanted to know the script. Gunny's lines weren't scripted.
None. And I can't imagine him saying, oh, you know what, that's not very good, let me do it. I hear him saying, Jesus Christ! You dumb fucker!
Oh, my God. Like, when he punched Matthew Modine, he actually punched Matthew Modine.
Matt Modine said he couldn't pull a punch.
No. And so when you saw that look on Modine's face, that was a real look of like anger and confusion and like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm an actor. I don't get harmed.
Like, Gunny just fucked you up, dude. You know, like D'Onofrio, like he was on D'Onofrio's ass like nobody's business. He's like, you know, why can't you have jelly donuts, sir? Because I'm too heavy. He's like, because you are a disgusting fat body. I mean, he just fucking let him have it.
But he gained weight for that role.
He did. But that was the thing. Even though he did, Gunny still, you know, in today's, you know, society would be bullied him.
And honestly, he wasn't that big.
No, he wasn't. But he was still considered overweight for the military because they want you, you know, if you're in the Army, you're supposed to be lean, mean, and Army green. You know, I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to be if you're a Marine.
Crayola ready.
Well, that is a
I can't say that.
That is a fine dinner, sir. Just saying. But we love the Marines. I do anyway because I went down MSR Tampa in 2003 with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. My platoon was actually attached to them, and the combat patch that I wore for the rest of my time in the Army was the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. Now, normally Marines don't have patches, but they made one for the Army and the other military units that were assigned to them, and I was very, very proud of that patch, and that's probably, that is the patch that I'm the proudest of actually getting, you know, because I also got the Navy Presidential Unit Citation Award for that, and they gave that to my unit. They gave it to the first MEF because we, I think I said first MEF. Sounds like, hey, we're from Kentucky.
Hey, you might want to
believe what we just invented.
Choose, I know, right?
Choose a different state.
Fuck, I don't know. Missouri?
There you go. I was just thinking about familial relations there in Kentucky. Yeah.
Well, you know, so we went down MSR Tampa with the first MEF, and, you know, we cut a path through the bad guys. Like, it wasn't pleasant, you know, but I was always very proud of that patch. And so when I do a shadow box with my ribbons and my badges and stuff like that and my combat patch, that patch is going to be in there because I'm super proud of that. So even though I make fun of the Marines, I respect them. I understand why they're there. Like, they fucking kill everything, dude. They build berms. They blow shit up. They kill everything, dude.
I was told.
They're fucking awesome.
I mean, it's part of the brethren, too, of being in the military, but he's got to make fun of somebody, right?
We all make fun of each other.
Yeah, so like, that's what it is.
One of my karate students, their mother was a Coastie. She was a Coast Guard.
Okay.
Everybody always makes fun of the Coast Guard.
And the Air Force.
The Air Force, yeah, that's always
the Air Force out. Always gets it. But to be in the Coast Guard, like, they are, you think the Marines are,
I told you about
selected.
My buddy that I used to work for. He was a deep sea rescue diver for the Coast Guard.
You don't fuck with the
Coast.
Leave the Coasties alone.
I was surrounded by four Marines, so I was told I loved the Marine Corps, and they would bust on, we had a couple Navy guys, and they would just bust on the Navy guys relentlessly, but no one ever said anything.
You know
to
why
Coast
they
Guard
got
guys.
The name tapes sewn across the top pocket of their pants, right?
The Navy?
Yeah. So they know who they're fucking. Just saying.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, obviously I can get away with that.
I can't. You can't. You ever thought about going to the military?
Yeah, when I was in high school, they wanted me to. I told you that before. I took the ASVAB and like, oh my god, you're the smartest person ever. You can be an engineer and blah 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 blah.
Driving trains,
dude.
Would be awesome. Yeah.
You could have been an engineer. You could have been a thief.
Yeah. Dude. They wanted me to go through, and I so the day I went through, and I said, well, I'll think about it. So I skipped school, because I skipped school a lot, because they used to let you go fishing. And then I skipped school to go fish the next day. Like, the drill sergeant or the recruiter comes in. He's like, where were you? He's like, I had you set up yesterday for your final physical and, like, all this other stuff and, like, my 4 years active. And I said, are you out of your mind? I said, I told you I'd think about it. I was talking to you about it once. We actually had a conversation. I filled out one piece of paperwork, and you got me all signed up. So they're like, well, you're going and stuff. And I was like, well, no, because I'm 17, you know, so I'm not going anywhere. And I'm not happy with your tactics. So, and I just talked to his
that's
boss.
What happened
and that's
with
what
me.
They like.
I told you about this before. I really, really wanted to be a Marine. Mm. Like, I was talking with the recruiters and all that stuff, and I had my ASVAB scores were off the charts for some of it. And I had this aptitude for a foreign language, so I wanted to go into diplomatic service.
You would be a linguist.
Yeah, a linguist.
Yeah.
And so we talked about this for
go to
months.
Monterey, California for that training.
Months.
Monterey is awesome. I've been there. It's a beautiful city.
we're talking months. And so the day I'm going to go in and sign my contract, they put it down in front of me, and I'm reading it. I'm like, this is nothing that we talked about. Well, we can fix that later. Yeah, we can fix it now, or I can walk out the door. Oh, we can fix it later. Well, then I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of broke my heart because I really wanted to go that route.
Yeah, they knew once they... Yeah, you're a reader. They didn't know you were a reader.
I'd have been like, well, sorry, yeah, I'm going to be the president.
Yeah, let's go!
So, yeah, see, that's how they get you.
We know that, you know, Alan's life took a different path, and we know what Craig wanted to be. What'd you want to be?
Be Walden.
I had never had any aspirations at all, to be honest with you.
He wanted to play some football and get laid.
Yeah, drink some beers, have fun, make enough money to live.
You are right on life's path then, my friend.
I'm the straight and narrow as far as that goes.
Yeah, good for you.
No, I don't set goals.
Aim low.
You know.
It is definitely the opposite of the Air Force.
No, I took the ASVABs and... Got the same spiel that you guys got, which is what the other 400 people in my senior class got as well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want.
Well, you just took the test so you get out of class for the day.
Well, I talked to my dad about it. I was like, hey, you know, I took the ASVABs. I got a pretty good score, and I don't remember what branch it was. I think it was the Air Force said.
That's the branch to go in.
Yeah. They were like, you can, you know, enlist. And I was like, all right, well, I'll go talk to my dad. My dad was like, no.
Well, your dad was in the military, right?
He served in Vietnam.
Yeah, so did my dad.
During Tet. So
he was in the Tet offensive?
He was in the Brownwater Navy.
Okay.
So he basically
what
was in a riverboat. Did you break my goddamn thing?
No, the thingy came off.
So it broke itself.
The little pewter thing.
Oh.
What was it attached to?
I have no idea.
Yeah, my dad was a combat veteran, too, and he was like, you can, he goes, I'm not going to tell you that you can or can't, he goes, but I'm not going to encourage you either.
Right. No, I don't.
Which is a no.
Right.
He was third generation military that all fought in major conflicts, and he's like, our family's done enough. You don't get to, and he wouldn't let me enlist, so.
Like Lieutenant Savage and Tommy Boy? Was that his name?
I don't remember that. Oh. Anyway, we have some articles here. We only have half an hour left before Walden has to leave.
I got to run tonight.
Staying on the military tactics, does anyone know what a deuce and a half is?
An extra big
and a half?
Poopy.
Yeah. Of course I do. I've actually licensed to drive a deuce.
Did I tell you what my dad did in Vietnam about a deuce and a half?
I think so.
You said he had to clean the latrines.
Yes. So a bunch of the guys had acquired a deuce and a half, and then... They were coming down for inspection. I think General Westmoreland was in country, and he was coming to inspect. And they were coming to where they were at, and they were like, someone's got to get rid of this deuce and a half because we're not supposed to have this. So they, short straws, my dad takes the deuce and a half, and he goes and parks it someplace, and he runs back to their barracks, and they're like, where'd you put it? I put it at the Red Cross. And they're like, the what? The Red Cross, the building over there, red flag, white white cross. And they're like, hey, that's battalion headquarters.
You put it right in plain, hit it right in plain sight.
Hit it right in plain sight, yeah. And then, of course, you probably know this, but somebody else, some other acquiring soldier, probably just took it and used it for themselves.
I will say this. When my platoon was with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force in Iraq back in 2003, there was a water buffalo, okay, not like an animal.
Oh, like a Fred Flintstone?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No. A water buffalo is
down
a trailer.
The lodge.
It's a trailer, and it's got a big water tank on it.
Oh, yeah.
And you can put like 500 gallons of water in it, right? Like it's a thing. And so we found this thing, and it had Marine unit on it, spray painted on it, and all this other stuff. It was just sitting in the middle of nowhere. And we were like, I'm hooking this bitch up to my Humvee. I hooked that motherfucker up. And I drove that bitch right back to where my platoon was at.
Yeah.
And was like, got us a water buffalo. And we took some spray paint and spray painted right over the Marine unit and spray painted over the bumper number and all this other shit. Because before we went into Iraq, while we were stuck in Kuwait, those motherfuckers stole the windshields off our vehicles. And so I took a raiding party and we went out and we found our windshields and took our windshields back. And then we did a roving guard on our stuff. We also built a walled off, like, bathroom facility, I guess you could say. So we took a metal chair, cut a big ass hole in it, put tape on the cut so you wouldn't cut your ass when you sat on it, put a 5 gallon.
You know, like you do with a glory hole.
There you go. You know,
that's important.
Put a 5 gallon bucket underneath it, and we found some wood. Well, we acquired some wood, and we made a wall on four sides around this thing, and we spray painted.
No door, but.
Well, it had a thing, and we spray painted the turtle head on it, you know, because obviously the Marines call the latrine the head, so we were like, is the turtle head, and it was just our thing. You know, we wound up making straddle trenches and taking poles for the camo net spreading system, driving those into the ground and putting water bottles, taping water bottles to them, and so you would piss into those so the urine would go underground. And then once it started to seep up to the top, you would just take the pole out and move it, you know. And, I mean, you did what you could, you know, to try and live as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to clean that latrine?
Of course not.
No?
No. We'd stay in a place for a day or two, and then we were gone, dude. We were on the move, man.
Did you ever take a picture of a giant shit?
You know, honestly, let me tell you this
story.
Isn't
that a selfie?
No.
For some people, yeah.
We had my platoon. We had wagon wheeled, right? And we're at Al Kut. Anybody can look up where it's going to come up as Kut, Iraq, but we knew it as Al Kut. So we were there, and our platoon sergeant had walked outside the perimeter to go to the bathroom. You know, he went to go use the latrine, and he stepped in a big ass turd. Somebody had dropped a deuce on the desert floor and rolled the fuck out. He woke up the entire fucking platoon. I stepped in somebody's shit. I wonder who the fuck it was. This is bullshit, and it fucking stinks. Right?
Well, then it's the bull's fault if it was bullshit.
Well, you would think so. And so we get out there, a lot of us, and we're inside a bigger perimeter than just our platoon perimeter. So we're inside, you know, this huge,
it kind of looks like a dump.
It is. So all of a sudden, you know, we've got our red light flashlights, and I'm like, why the fuck is the ground moving? Uh-oh. You know, because there's movement. And I was like,
rats.
So I unscrewed the lens cap cover a little bit, and I just shined a little bit of white light for a second, and it's camel spiders.
Oh, no.
They're fucking everywhere. And I was like, nope. And I turned around. I was like, I'm out. And my platoon sergeant was like, if you don't get the fuck back here, I was like, you can article fucking 15 me later. Like, I'm arachnophobic. Like, I'm not fucking playing with that.
Stress card.
Stress card.
There you go. Like, dude, there's one thing I don't do, and that's fucking spiders.
So did he go out there then and see it and turn right around himself?
No. He was just like, fuck this. Like, he was so mad. He didn't give a shit.
Wow.
Like, camel spiders are a cross between a scorpion, a spider, and Satan. Like, those things are, and they're not even a spider. They're like a cephalopoid. But,
and there we go.
What?
It's a type of aminal.
Hey, know your enemy.
All these big words. There we go. There is a.
Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Right. That's all I'm saying. Like, fuck that. Like, if anyone has, and they're in the United States, by the way, they're in the Southwest. They're, you know, New Mexico, Arizona. Like, those things.
All right.
We don't have camels here.
You don't have.
Got camel toes, but not.
Well, sure. The reason they're called camel spiders is because you see them on the bellies of camels all the time, and they'll chew into the skin and shrink the blood.
Oh. So, you didn't see any poop that was worth taking a picture of?
Why would I take a picture of a turd?
Because you can win a lot. You can get extra money.
How much could you
win?
Where
is this?
You could get an extra $10,000 if you poop, if you take a picture of your poop.
Where is this at?
It's the third article on there. So bidet manufacturer and retailer Tushy invited participants via Twitter and Instagram to send them photos of their post-Super Bowl poop in a bid to possibly win $10,000. The event, unforgivably called Super Bowl Monday, will accept entries either publicly tagged and tweeted with hashtag Tushy Super Bowl or sent to them by DM, which I'm sure has opened a back door to their inboxes that will never be closed.
Backdoor.
What a play on words. It's like a double entendre. Right?
So you can only do it till 11:59 Pacific time on Valentine's Day. So when you get home.
I already took my fiber pills today.
Oh.
And I had a whole bunch of chili yesterday during the Super Bowl. And
you
I took
you were
fiber
trying to
pills.
Pass off.
Yeah, that's right. That's,
I lit that
he lost 7 pounds.
Dude, that's like a deuce and a half.
There you go. That motherfucker's got 6 wheels. A little bit of hair. Now, I had tacos yesterday. I was like, fuck this. We're making tacos. So there we just go. Made tacos.
Tacos yesterday and Taco Tuesday. So you're going to just sandwich what? I mean, what'd you have today?
Chili.
Leftover tacos?
No. Meatloaf tonight. Yeah. Meatloaf when I get home.
Oh, nice.
Haven't had meatloaf in a while.
He's dead.
He's dead.
I hope somebody wins this contest. We can, do you have to Google it and figure out
wonder what
out
Rich is doing.
Yeah.
Taking a picture of his turd.
You know what would be the best? A smothered white hot from Reed's and a Jenny Cream Ale? It's all you, buddy.
Oh, that'll get no,
you.
No. Like
clean
okay,
out real good.
I know what a red hot is. What the fuck is a white hot?
It's like a red hot, but white.
It's a white hot dog.
So it's made with pork?
It's pork. It's all pork, and it's seasoned. It's kind of a spicier seasoning.
It's a good hot dog.
It's you'd spicier
like
it.
You'd
than
like
a
white hot.
You definitely like it.
Spicier than a red hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But not a Jenny Screamer. Like, we did that, you know, episodes ago.
Right.
Walden and I
you
did.
Had to experience it.
I did.
I will never ask you to do it again.
I took it like a champ.
I'll call you a pussy for not doing it again.
That's okay. Now I'll take that.
I got some in the fridge.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Right upstairs.
But
I gotta drive.
Dude, that what is it? That Pabst coffee thing?
Oh, that's yeah. Good.
Dude, they sell that shit at Tops now.
I know. Yeah.
And they came out with another one. What the hell was it? But there's another, it's not coffee, maybe it's iced tea or something like that. But Pabst is spreading out and making all kinds of different.
Are they moving beyond the hipsters? Because that's all, either it's old Vietnam vets who drink PBR
right.
Or hipsters who dress like lumberjacks but don't know how to swing an axe.
Their names are Brad, can't drive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I've missed Brad. How's he doing?
Oh, my God, he's super. He's
still just the one emotional support trouser snake, or has he moved on to multiples?
I don't know. He may be on to multiples now.
Funny you bring that up, because I've been watching the Olympics, and I am not a huge Johnny Weir fan, not at all.
Johnny Weir, right?
Yeah.
The figure skater guy.
Yes, but he's doing the commentating for the figure skating, and I love watching the figure skating because I can skate, but I can't skate like that, and that's like magical that you can move like
crazy.
That on ice.
Yep.
So that 15-year-old Russian girl who got busted twice since Christmas for doping, and they're still letting her compete,
right.
He blew up during the presentation last night about
did
how terrible
really?
Was. And he's, you know what? He was dead on, absolutely 100% right. And I'm like, I think I agree with Johnny Weir.
Honestly, I think if that had been an American skater, they'd have just stripped him with a fucking medal.
Oh, yeah,
right
exactly.
There.
Yep.
You know, but
they can't. They banned the whole Russian team for doping problems.
They banned Russia.
Right. So now the Russians have their own
Olympic committee.
Right.
Which allows them to compete, you know. But I mean, look at this, the speed skating thing. You know, they somehow found a way to disqualify like the Americans and another team that put the Chinese back in consideration or back into a placing. And then they did the speed skating event and then won the gold.
How about that woman that did the speed skating? She's only been skating for like 3 years. She won last night. I was watching after the Super Bowl. She was phenomenal.
Or the U.S.?
Yeah.
The black woman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. And then...
First black woman to take the gold in the U.S. for that, right?
Yep.
Ever.
Good for her.
Like, to medal in speed skating
and
ever.
They haven't won... The Americans haven't won a gold medal in women's speed skating in 28 years.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment.
I'm going to say maybe that has something to do with the sprinting ability of African-Americans.
Right.
Because naturally, they're just better sprinters than
like Mr. Bolt,
white people. I'm just saying, you know. Right. But I mean, dude, she went out there, she competed.
Didn't
she
Jimmy the
won.
Greek say that?
That's exactly what was running through my head. Jimmy the Greek.
I mean, dude, it is what it is. I mean, I can't sprint like that.
Maybe if something was chasing me, I could. But
Well, even then, I don't have to be the fastest dude. I just got to be faster than the last guy.
Right.
And
that's
generally,
right.
It's the person that I'm tripping.
Right.
Like, I'm good. So, but yeah, I've kind of kept some tabs on the Olympics. I really haven't been watching it this year, but I don't really want to get into that because it's going to take the show in a whole new...
The one thing I really, really like is that the American men's hockey team is not made up of NHL players, and they are whooping ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all NCAA players.
Yeah.
And Justin Abdelkader.
Dude, they just beat, who was it,
Canada?
And then they beat Germany.
They beat Germany, yeah.
To win their division right now. Now, I hope the Magic's not gone.
I don't know. They're going to send Al Michaels over there?
Well, what they were talking about was like, you know, there's still some miscues going on, but they're like, they're super fast.
Yep.
And they just fucking smash people.
They were hitting so hard in that Germany game. I was just like, this is international play.
Yeah, they don't hit like that.
Are you supposed to be hitting like this?
I mean,
it's insane.
Now, I haven't seen it because I'm not going to lie. I haven't been watching the Olympics. I've been busy with other things. But if the men's Olympic team is like that good, like I may actually tune in and watch the next
medal
broadcast.
Rounds?
Yeah, of that. Because if they're fucking smashing people, like, dude.
They got all the extra room, too. Aren't the international rinks slightly bigger?
Yeah.
Like, dude, check the guy and check him right into his fucking bench. Just right over the fucking thing. Wham! Like, dude, it is what it is, right?
Right. Yep. So since we're talking about hockey, and hockey is a Canadian sport, hey, Alan, guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about what's happening in Canada this week.
Cue the music!
Your listening pleasures, Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch. We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all. Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch. Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Shorzy and people giving their balls a tug.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Now,
except you finally see Shorzy's face.
Right. It's just jerky, so.
With a beard and missing teeth.
Well, we already knew. Yeah.
So in Canada this week, a woman has been arrested after allegedly stealing and driving a Toronto fire truck around the city this past Thursday. Around 4:45 a.m., police responded to trouble at Toronto Fire Station 227.
Was Jack Kay there?
Mary.
Jack Kay.
Jack Kay.
Mary.
With her friend, Frank Kay.
Police say someone broke into the station and drove a fire truck through the closed bay door. Part of the door was found across the street on the ground.
I'm going to punt kick the shit out of this door.
A low-speed pursuit ensued and came to an end on Unwin Avenue. Unwin Avenue. That must be where the Leafs have their headquarters. About a 10-minute drive from the fire station, a 28-year-old woman was arrested and charges are pending. There is nothing to suggest at this time that the theft is related to any protest or convoy. Okay, who cares about that part? But she just liked the extra hoses that were around. But wouldn't it be cool to drive a fire truck?
Right up there with Zambonis.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is Ludacris playing in the background. I've got hose.
In different area codes.
There you go.
Area code.
I don't know what the fuck Canada's area code is up there. Maybe like +96 or some bullshit.
967. No, wait.
No,
405.
No, that's a road.
It's like,
I don't know. Now we're just fucking talking about
there's it. A bunch.
Area codes.
It's like 975. Like 401 or something like that.
416.
416.
402s, 803s.
Derry. Yeah. So that's what's happening in Canada this week.
Do you have a website for us, Craig?
I do have a website for us this week.
God.
I didn't need Rich to help me. And I still don't know what that Weezer thing is.
You can't even edit this show because we need content.
No, we're good. So it is trypap.com, TRYPAP.com.
I'm trying. It doesn't do anything for me.
I don't know.
I don't think it is because I got nothing.
So this is the passive-aggressive password machine. So you can click up there where it says, please enter a password, and it says, imagine your in-laws are helping you with a password. This is what they'd say. So that's what you're going to put down for your password. So I'm going to type down Craig, and as soon as I put the C, it says, really, you call that a password?
Yeah, I put in something totally not cool.
Worst password ever. Try totally harder, man. Cool.
Like, I want to believe that Jim Carrey called Renee Zellweger this in Me, Myself, and Irene. He's like, oh, my little, and he called her something. Most people will get this.
I've seen dogs with better passwords.
The common name for it is Queef.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, my little.
PF.
Yes, PF. And it says, this password needs more emoji. And the only thing I can think of is like a roast beef sandwich and a fan.
Oh, my God. Mine now say toddlers eat passwords like yours for breakfast.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
May God have mercy on your email account.
I saw that one.
I just watched A Million Ways to Die in the West. Yeah. And that, what's his name? Ribisi?
Giovanni Ribisi.
Giovanni Ribisi, when he was with Sarah Silverman.
She comes out of the back room. She's got a little something on her face.
Well, no. When she finally lifted her skirt up.
Oh, is that
up,
hair gel?
When she finally lifted her skirt up to show him like what it looked like, he said, it looks like a firecracker resting on roast beef, on fresh cut roast beef or something like that. It just struck me. It's just horribly funny.
I like that movie. I'm not a huge
A Thousand Seth was fan. A Million Ways Seth to Die fan. In the West, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. Good. You know?
I didn't hate it, no.
I thought it was, I mean, I was expecting, well, I guess I got exactly what I expected out of it.
I absolutely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because I've got that level of black humor in my life.
The ice cube just pulverized the guy's face as he fell underneath it. It's just, okay, I thought it was a good movie.
Speaking of Westerns, have you guys ever watched The Deadwood? I mean, you watched the movie, right?
Or I watched the whole series,
too. Yeah, I have not.
No?
No.
No?
I haven't had time.
It's a great,
is that
great,
a current show? Is it an old show?
No, it's
dude,
an old show.
I am so behind on TV shows right now. Like, I've got to watch the last season of Lucifer, the last season of Cobra Kai, the last season of...
I finished up Cobra Kai.
The Expanse. Like, I've got all these shows I got to watch.
And they can do so much more with The Expanse because that book series is like 9 or 10 books long.
Yeah, but this season was only, what, 6 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a short season to get through, but I hope it's really good.
I'm just finishing up Ellen's favorite show.
What's that?
Ozark.
That's so bad.
That's on my watch list. I haven't even had a chance.
I know Matt... It says, I mean, it has the entertainment value and stuff, so it's there. But you feel like you're totally watching the show. It's just, ugh.
I have one episode left in season 2, so I'm kind of way behind on it. But I now get what you're saying because it's the same thing every episode.
Every episode. They just get close to killing somebody. They leave a wake of bodies behind. They're the only new people in the Ozarks, and nobody's saying, hey, it must be these guys.
Right.
You know, it's just the stupidest
now,
thing.
No, the Ozarks, that takes place in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas,
that is
I'm assuming.
Is it? Or is it Arkansas? Well,
it's in Missouri. They're in Missouri.
Okay, so the Ozarks do go into Missouri. Yeah, I was assuming Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then I finished up Better Call Saul.
Great show.
Awesome show.
That's a good one.
Kim Wexler is just...
She's a beautiful
woman.
She's
a beautiful woman. It's a great show. Have you watched Breaking Bad?
No.
No?
No. Dude,
no Breaking Bad for
my
you.
My son's
either?
Watching Breaking Bad.
I like Breaking Bad up until the last season.
Yeah,
you know,
it got predictable at the end.
Yeah, very much.
I would love to like be able to sit down and watch all these TV shows, but I've got
I watch Cobra Kai in an afternoon.
They're in band. They're in drama. They're in karate. I'm instructing. I'm
Didn't
doing.
Cobra
my training,
Kai play in the Super Bowl
shit.
Yesterday?
It's, yeah.
What was that guy's name? Every time they said it, I kept thinking Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's a football player. On one of the teams.
Mm. I didn't really watch the Super Bowl. So
I'm not a huge fan of Cobra Kai because I think they rely way too much on nostalgia and don't actually...
I think it's probably the best part of it.
But they don't ever evolve the characters.
Oh, they did evolve the characters right out of the gate, because Daniel used to be this innocent kid. Now all of a sudden he's a fucking douchebag.
He was always kind of a douchebag, though. In the movies, he was kind of a douchebag.
He wasn't really a douchebag. He was a kid that was fucking picked on, and his girlfriend cheated on him. He fought life or death in the second one at the end, and then the third one, you know, he's getting terrorized by Karate's bad boy, you know. And I mean, he was always getting
Terry Silver.
No.
And next thing you know, he's robbing a convenience store with his buddy, and Danny DeVito has to defend him.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, but I mean, he was always getting the fucking green weenie in the series, though. And now, like, they swap places because Johnny in the movies was rich. He had money, and now all of a sudden they swap places. So there's character development already out of the gate.
The greatest character development that was in that show so far is Kreese's backstory.
I think that was great. Now, I saw that last season.
So I don't think it's a B-quality show for me. I know Howie thinks it's an A++. Like, he lives and dies by Cobra Kai. He said they've already filmed it, so it should be out by my birthday, which is in July, for the next season. I'm like, dude, they're going to wait.
They're going to wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and but as long as we're... well, go ahead.
The last two episodes of Cobra Kai, the current season they just finished, by far make the whole series.
I'm sure they do.
And it could be because Carrie Underwood was in it, but...
Yeah, I heard something about she was in it, but meh, whatever.
And I'll just finish this because I know we've been talking about shows and stuff. So Friday, we had a very big day where I work. A catered luncheon, the hall was all decorated nice and everything. So I got a compliment from a number of the kids because I've dressed up. I had beautiful dress slacks on, sport coat, shirt, tie. I wore my fur fedora.
And oh,
so I had that on too. So I mean, but I was dressed really nice. And all the kids were just like, oh my God, you look so great today. You look so nice. And I'm like, oh, thank you very much. Like, you remind me of
the guy that hangs out at the liquor store.
The dad and Matilda.
Oh yeah.
Who's the dad and Matilda?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito as a used car salesman.
There you go.
That's exactly how they pictured
you. You're the leftover stuff from the twins.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wasn't
he? I'm like, you jerks. Oh. And here I am. I did so much to make that such a special day for you. And they truly meant it as a compliment, so I really can't get mad at them. But I'm like, you jerks.
Hey.
But it was a great day.
He was great in Twins.
He was. The guy's great in everything. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I have to watch that.
I haven't watched it.
Limoncello.
So anyways, I'm blasting.
I love that. I love that.
He starts to run. Great. I don't run so good. So I start blasting. But I don't see so good either.
So I blast it again.
Forgive me because I don't watch television.
You
got to
watch it.
What is it?
It's from Always Sunny.
Okay.
It's just fun. And it's like that's one of the memes out there too with him all the time.
Yeah. Where's that at now? Is it on Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, okay. Hulu.
FXX.
All right. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of our time because someone's got to leave.
Yeah, I got to go.
And it's Valentine's Day, so if we get home early enough, we can let Alan cry by himself.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a dick.
Tomorrow is Single Appreciations Day, which is the acronym SAD, actually. But that's the day to celebrate, and it's an unofficial holiday. But it's a day to celebrate being single and doing things that you enjoy yourself and also enjoying candy between 50 and 75% off. So everybody enjoy your SAD day tomorrow.
We will. So this week for Shenanigans, it's been Alan with a Y, Vinny, Walden, and I am Craig. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.